Here at Daleville Christian Church, one of our statements of belief is found in the beginning of John's Gospel in the first chapter, the first five verses, and I would add verse 14 to that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Word. Today is from the book, or the letter, to the Hebrews in the first chapter, the first nine verses. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. And we desire here at Daleville Christian Church that you be connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Proclaim him your Savior. Take him as the Lord of your life. You may do that at any time. We would want you to be connected to a church that looks to the Word of God, a church that calls upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. It would be great if Daleville Christian Church could be that church for you. But in any event, be a part of a church. It is Jesus' own will for us to participate as his church together, lifting one another up for the work he has called us to do. This year, at this season at Daleville Christian Church, we will spend some time talking about angels. Say the word angel, author Joel Miller suggests, and people may conjure many different images. Angels have been depicted in art for thousands of years. You may have some of those images in your head. They may have wings, maybe long hair, might even be blonde for many people, adding a touch of a hint of gold to the image. They might be bathed in light. The angels may seem to have light emanate from them. They may have a halo on their heads. I think halos are to suggest the light that they reflect and their holiness. You might even see cherubs, sort of Cupid with ringlets of hair, maybe bows and arrows. We may be allowed to picture almost anything in our minds because angels are not much described in God's Word. That is, what they look like is not much described. Here are two reports from Jesus' resurrection. Luke's gospel says, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in Matthew's gospel, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes gleamed like lightning. That's quite an image. We may be allowed to picture almost anything in our minds about angels because there are so few descriptions of their appearance, and angels are spiritual beings. You and I are also spirit, and we are flesh. Angels are not described as having flesh. The seraphim that Isaiah saw in the temple were described as having wings, which both allowed them to fly and to cover themselves. And for your information, the word seraphim is plural, more than one. One is called a seraph. Isaiah saw more than one seraph, hence the seraphim. So also cherub and cherubim. The cherubim are the creatures depicted on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant carried by the Israelites and placed in the temple. They also are depicted with wings. These are the only description of wings on spiritual beings. In the book of Revelation, the angel flies, but wings are not mentioned. The seraphim and the cherubim are spiritual creatures, just as angels are spiritual creatures, but there is no description of angels with wings. I just want to point that out. We just don't have a description of that. We really don't know much about the appearance of angels. But I return to the question of angels. What do we really know about angels? Despite the fact that angels are mentioned in the Bible almost 300 times, many of Jesus' followers today do not know much about angels. We can hardly not talk about angels at Christmas. They are in both Luke and Matthew's telling of Jesus' birth. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11. Luke can't talk about Jesus' birth for very many verses before Luke must tell us angels showed up. So we might ask, what do we really know about angels? And we can ask, what does the Bible really say about angels? We will get to Jesus' birth, the celebration of Christmas, and the angels' involvement later today and this season. But today's reading from the book or letter to the Hebrews wants to make some very clear points about angels. The writer of Hebrews goes to some lengths to argue that Jesus, the Son of God, is superior to the angels. This may not come up too many dinner conversations at your house. It's never come up at my dinner table either, and I'm the pastor. So let's just say there must have been something going on that the letter to the Hebrews felt it necessary to say that Jesus, as Son of God, although he appeared in the flesh, was still superior to the angels, who were also spiritual beings. But it's the last verse of the first chapter of Hebrews that we will return to, and we want to take note of it here. Verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels are ministering spirits. They serve. Here, Hebrews reminds us that they serve those who will inherit salvation. That would be us, the believers and the followers of Jesus. That's going to require some unpacking this season, but for the moment, let's focus on angels themselves. The word angel literally means messenger. This is based on the ancient practice of the king's court. The king sits on his throne in his throne room or courtroom. The king makes decisions for the realm, his kingdom, in an era before electronic media, and this was way before electronic communication. Decisions from the king's court had to be carried by hand or literally carried by foot by those who had actually stood there and seen and heard what happened in the king's court. The messenger was a direct link to the mouth of the king. Or in our case, the angels are often messengers as a direct link from the mouth of God himself. So generally speaking, we will see the angels at Christmas declaring the will of God. Now, we've heard these stories over and over and over about the birth of Jesus. We know how the stories end. We know everything turns out fine for the plan of salvation. However, if you were reading the Gospels for the first time, you wouldn't know that. Even if it was the will of God, direct from the king's palace room in the heavens, the question is, will the people actually do God's will? We so naively believe that if an angel showed up in front of us and expressed God's will, that we would automatically say yes. I call that naive. Even Moses, in his conversations with God, was not sure that God's plan was workable. Moses listed about four reasons God's plan would not work, and Moses even finally suggested that God send someone else instead. Moses! This is Moses the Word of God is telling us about. Because we know what the Bible says, we naively think that ancient peoples had nothing to do until God showed up. We think that ancient peoples didn't have any plans, but they did have plans. And that's a part of the drama. We so often miss it. If Moses himself was going to argue with the Almighty about God's plan and then even suggest that someone else would be a better choice for the plan, how's it going to go with Zechariah, a simple priest in Jerusalem? How is God's plan of unplanned and unexpected pregnancy going to go with a simple village girl? Whoa, and how is that plan going to go over with her husband? And what about those shepherds who are only trying to get some sleep when the angels of the Lord show up? The word of God comes directly to them by way of an angel. Angels are the delivery beings. Angels are the UPS men and women of God's heavenly court. When God's word absolutely positively has to be there, angels front and center. And the angels confront mere mortals like you and I with God's divine plans. Hear it. Angels confront mere mortals like you and I with God's divine plans. And what a plan it is! A plan to save humanity from its path of self-destruction. The fulfillment of God's plan revealed long ago, a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation, a plan to save people like you and me. What a plan. Now let's remember a few things about angels as we talk about angels this season. Angels are spiritual beings who were created by God to do His will, but some of them, including Satan, rebelled against God and became evil. In that sense, therefore, some angels are bad. We will be focusing on the good, or holy and obedient angels this season. This leads me to explain something that Bible readers do not often understand. I again mention that angels are spiritual beings. We too are spirits, and we are flesh. The flesh is what we live in, a world of flesh, bodies, on the ground, walking, moving, working, seeing, hearing, tasting, emotional. Our world of the flesh is, for the most part, predictable. Therefore, when the world of the spirit, when the spirit world opens up before us, or the spirit world breaks in upon us, it is unsettling. It is more than unsettling, it is frightful and fearful. The spirit world is not predictable to us. The spirit world is not beyond our senses, but the spirit world is often beyond our reason. Therefore, Jesus seems to appear in the flesh after his resurrection, can eat fish, show the wounds on his body, and walk through locked doors. It doesn't make sense to our reason. Welcome to the world of the Spirit. Actually, this is why the Bible so often tells us not to be afraid. It is natural for those of us of the material world to be disturbed by the revelation of the spiritual world, which exists at the same time with us and yet not always available to our senses. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was a priest serving in the temple of the Lord one day. Zechariah sees an angel in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. This seems like a fairly natural place to find an angel. But that wasn't Zechariah's reaction. The Bible tells us in Luke's book, when Zechariah saw him, when he saw the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." See what I mean? You might think that a priest of God's, of all people, serving our God in God's own temple, of all places, might not be bent out of shape to have the world of the Spirit break upon him in his very spiritual duties. But the Bible says that Zechariah is startled and gripped with fear. Encountering holy and spiritual beings is rarely smooth going when it is described in God's Word. A number of people are described as collapsing to the ground when directly confronted with the holy and spiritual presence. I just throw that out there as a reminder that encountering a holy spiritual presence is usually unsettling. At least that is what the Bible often tells us. However, we can be assured of this when we read about angels, or if we think we encounter angels. The ministry of holy angels will never contradict the Bible. The job of angels is God's will, always. The job of angels is God's will, always. The actions of holy angels will always be consistent with the character of Christ. A genuine encounter with a holy angel will glorify God, not the angel. Holy angels never draw attention to themselves. They typically do their work and are then taken from our sight. Finally, given that we human beings can be difficult to communicate with, and I should probably get an amen on that, given that we human beings can be difficult to communicate with, given that human beings often demonstrate themselves in the Bible to be stubborn, often selfish, and can we say easily frightened, given all that, notice how the Lord works to get his will done at Christmas. Notice how the Lord works to get his will done at Christmas. We talk about God's gift of Jesus to us, and that is true, but the presence of the angels reminds us that the Lord doesn't so much do things for us as much as the Lord works with us to do his will. It isn't that God just does things for us. God works with us to do his will. In all the reports on Jesus' birth, the Lord confronts people with his will. People are interrupted by the angels with the news they bring. No one is expecting angels. No one is expecting the angels' message. See, this earthly plane is interrupted with heaven's news. Our earthly plane, our earthly existence, is interrupted with heaven's news. Our existence is interrupted with way better plans than the ones we have. It's the plan and promise of God. The Lord works to fulfill his promises to us to save us. And that, my friends, is some very good news. A blessed season to you this Christmas. Amen. I must ask if our Lord is calling you with some heaven's news about your salvation. Is the Lord calling to interrupt your plans with his plans for your life now and forever? If you are being called by our Lord to have faith in Him, to trust Him, to give your life to Him, and receive the gift of life in and through Jesus Christ, who came to give us life, you can do that now. You can do it at any time. Be connected to the one who came to save you and give Him thanks as you receive Him as your Lord and Savior.